Good to have everyone here this morning. Don't see many guests, but it's good to have everyone here. We're glad you're here and glad you made it through the weather and were able to come and see you this morning. We have a few on the sick list. We want to go ahead and remember Christina. She's still homesick. We will remember her. And also Bradley is homesick with a fever. We'll remember him as well. Also Pam Bays, we want to remember her at Northwest as well. And then Wilma Hamilton, I believe last Wednesday, she was in the hospital and they ran some tests and found out she has cancer as well. So we want to remember her as well. Members out of town, Kim and the girls, they're in Owensboro. I think they stayed over there so they wouldn't have to drive far for services, and apparently it fell through, so it didn't work out. Anyway, TJ, Wednesday invitation this coming week. No meetings that we know of in the area. We will meet again this evening at 4 p.m. unless the weather turns bad and we hear something from Kim or Chuck. So we will be back here again this evening at 4. Wednesday night, of course, Wednesday night Bible study. It's order of services this morning. Opening prayer will be by Brother Dan. Communion be by Mark Evans and TJ. Song leader is Tim, and he has selected 873. 873, that'll be our first song. Closing prayer will be Andrew. Then also, Brother Mike has the Wednesday night lessons back there on the back for the Genesis class. So everyone in that class, be sure and get your book for the Wednesday night Bible class. And that's all I have as far as anything else. If there's anything I overlook, please bring it. Let me know, and I'll bring it up this evening.
Number 873, love, love. We'll sing all four of the verses. Love, 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 the gospel that a word is love. Love thy neighbor as thy brother. Love, love, love. Peace, 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 the gospel that a word is peace. Peace that passes understanding, peace, peace, peace. Joy, 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 the gospel in a word is joy. Joy that fills to ever flowing, joy, joy, joy. Christ, Christ. Counselor blessings. Sing all four of these verses, and then the conclusion of the fourth verse will be led in our opening word of prayer.
When upon life's pillows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Ever burdened with a load of care, does the crushing heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done.
Service, well, we're thankful that we're able to be here, that this place is available to us, even in conditions such as these, and Father, that so many of us are still able to make it out here and to be able to prioritize serving you, even in days like this. Father, we're thankful for the many blessings that we enjoy, our homes, and the shelter that we have, and clothing, all these sorts of things that make weather such as times like this much more comfortable for us. Father, we're certainly aware of this, and we want to thank you for them as the source of those things. But moreover, Father, we want to turn our attention to spiritual matters this morning where we know our greatest blessings do lie. Father, we're mindful of those who are not able to be with us this day. We pray for those who are unable to attend, whether they be working, also those who are ill, those who are not able to make it out for whatever the reason, Father, we pray they might be able to rejoin with us. Their next opportunity that we can all be together as fellow Christians. Father, we are thankful for the members that we have here, that this church is available to us. We're edified by all of those who are in attendance. We pray that as we do find challenges here on the earth, we can seek each other as resources, that we can help each other along in earthly matters as we help each other along in spiritual ones on that path to heaven. Father, we pray for Chuck this morning as he prepares to deliver his lesson. We pray that in all these things we might give good attention to the word, that we can give it the respect that it deserves, that we can seek to put your will above our own, that we can try to leave this place more knowledgeable, more faithful, more active in your service than when we came in. And that if we have questions, Father, we'll be willing to ask them, we can seek answers to perfect our own understanding, so that we might also be able to help others as well. Father, if we have areas in our personal lives where we have fallen short, we pray that we might be willing to recognize those things, turn away from them, that we could repent as necessary, and that you might be just to forgive us so that we could once more be seen as sinless children of yours. We pray all these things in your son's name this morning. Amen. Amen.
I'm going to turn to song number 511. Sing all three verses of Off We Come Together, and then the Lord's Supper will be administered this morning. Number 511.
Off we come together, off we sing and praise.
Supper, I like to go to a passage that we don't normally go to, John chapter 3, and I'll begin reading in verse 13 and 14. John chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. No one has ascended into heaven but he who descends from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Like this passage, because Jesus not only vilifies that of Moses and the serpent in the wilderness that he had to put up to save the children of Israel, but he's also signifying his death at this point, that he himself will have to be lifted up on the cross. And in doing that, and the events around the cross, he has instituted this Lord's Supper in remembrance of that, bread and wine. So as we look upon this memorial and examine that institution of his Lord's Supper, we do so each Lord's Day, and reflecting those events around the cross. Go ahead and pray with me. Father in heaven, as we come this morning once again in prayer, we're indeed grateful for your plan of salvation, which you had to offer your son Jesus upon that cross. We're indeed grateful for Jesus to take upon that plan and to be obedient to it and to suffer the death on that cross. We pray, Father, that you would bless this bread that represents his body, that we take it in a manner that's well pleasing to thee. In Christ's most holy name, amen. Amen. Well, as we continue to approach our phone this morning where he, again, looking at the events of the cross, pray that you bless this cup that represents your son's blood. We pray, Father, that we never take for granted the sacrifice he made upon that cross for us. We pray, Father, that we take this in the manner well pleasing to thee, in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Amen. Includes the Lord's Supper as a continuing form of worship we are to lay by in store at this point. Not grudgingly or in a cheerful manner, already purposed in the heart of your visitors among us, you're not required nor obligated. As Christians identified with the work here at River Ridge, it is our obligation on the first day of the week, as commanded in the New Testament, to do so that the work under this eldership may continue on. If you would, pray with me. Father in heaven, we are so indeed blessed this morning with both the physical realm, Father, and the spiritual realm, that you have given us so much abundance blessings to be here, to come together, to encourage each other, to study a portion of thy word, and we pray, Father, that we can apply to the lives the blessings of this locality, of this place that we meet in. Pray, Father, that you continue to do so, that we may be good stewards of those blessings, and that we have purposed in our hearts already to give back a portion of those blessings to you as a monetary means. And we pray that the eldership here may so direct those funds to broaden thy kingdom in our localities. Continue to do so, Father, and we give thee the glory and honor of being our God, in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
you would go ahead and mark in your songbooks, number 31 will be the imitation song following Chuck's lesson this morning, number 31. And then just a few pages over, number 37, we'll sing this song before the lesson. If you would please stand, we'll sing all three verses, Angry Words, number 37.
Angry words, so let them never from the tongue unbridled slip. May the heart, as impulse ever, check them ere they soil the lip. Love one another, love saith the Savior, children obey the Father's blessed command. One another, thus saith the Savior, children obey His blessed command. Love is much too pure and holy, friendship is too sacred far, for a moment's reckless folly, thus to desolate and
morning. Glad you weathered the weather. I sent a photo up to my mom of my front yard, and she says, you have more snow than we have. And although I threw a bunch of snow up against the mailbox to make it look like we've got like 4 feet of snow. Nonetheless, it reminds me of home, but I did leave the country to get away from it, and here it is. Guys, if you want to open up your Bibles to John chapter 6, in just a few moments we're going to read a familiar text from there. You know, it seems that a lot of people have this idea that if you have it, give it. I've been thinking about that this week. Actually, what sparked it was my daughter said, hey, Dad, it's an interesting sermon that preached where she's at. And I was listening to that, and there was just a comment that was made, and it kind of jumped out at me. I wrote it down, and I got thinking about it a little bit more. But really, when I think about that idea, with the problems that exist today, I think there are times we actually have to put the statement like this. If you have it to give, please don't. There are times when that statement will be true. Not all the time. I don't want to discourage giving on the first day of the week. I don't want to discourage you from helping out certain charities that you do, and that's a good thing, helping out people that are in need, and doing stuff like that, and give when there's opportunity. But really what we're going to learn today, we're going to look at three different occasions where we could apply that statement, if you have it to give, don't. And I think there's some just valuable lessons for us to learn. And so I asked you to turn to John chapter 6, and we're going to pick it up in verse 22. John chapter 6, verse 22, on the following day, The people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which the disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered that boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they got into boats and came to Capernaum seeking Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? And Jesus answered and said to them, Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man has given you, because the Son of because God the Father has set his seal on him. All right, that will suffice. And we've talked about this passage before, but remember, if you back up in this chapter, you back up to about verse 10, we see who these people were, because in verse 10 it says, And Jesus said, Make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to his disciples, and to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish, as many as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. Therefore they gathered them up, filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten them. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, Truly, the prophet who is to come into the world. This is he. Okay. This sets the tone for our first point. Jesus already fed them once. Now, why did he do that? Well, you say, he did that because he could. He did it because he could. Yes, but he also did it for a more important reason. He did it so people would know who he was. Jesus never performed a miracle just for the sake of doing it. But I wanted us to be thinking about that concept for a moment. Now, when they came to him the next day, they were seeking, of course, to have their bellies filled. Now, why? Well, because Jesus can. I mean, if you have the ability, then use it. And this is one of the cases where I'm saying, sorry, that's not good enough. If you come to me and say, I expect from you because you have it. Have you ever known anybody who expects you to do something because you have the ability? Here's where that lesson comes into place. You and I, there are times when you have to say, if you have it to give, don't, under certain circumstances that we need to be aware of if we're going to learn. Now, you think of the local church, for example. I turn to 2 Corinthians, chapter 9. And there are times when a local church can be in a position. Now, these brethren, of course, had quite the attitude. We have here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1, Now, concerning the ministry to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time, prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you have previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. There's local churches. Here's where Paul tells the brethren here, look, your zeal encouraged other people to give. I mean, I told them about what you wanted to do. And that stirred others to want to give. But a local church can help needy saints. There's a classic example right there. Follow through with it, as Paul said. You wanted to help, let's do it. So a church can definitely help those who are in need. And that's a wonderful thing. Well, see, Chuck, what's that got to do with your sermon about if you have it, don't give it? Well, here's a case. Paul telling Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, In 1 Timothy chapter 5, this is an example. He says, if any believing man or woman, and I'm reading verse 16, 1 Timothy 5, verse 16, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them, and do not let the church be burdened that it might relieve those who are really widows. Don't let the church be charged or burdened. Well, if they have it, give it. If we as a local church, you know, we have, you know, somebody comes here, you know, and they just want some money. Well, if the church has it, give it. No, we don't. We don't give it to people that are, first of all, not saints. And have you ever questioned anybody? Well, have you got family that are responsible for taking care of it? Well, let's not bring that up. If we have it, let's give it. No. There are responsibilities placed upon people. And I think, you know, really about people that wanted to make sacrifices. I was talking with an elder recently, a good friend of mine, out of state, and he was telling me that they had some members come. Some people started visiting with them, and they were members of the church. And, well, the wife was. And so they placed membership, or she placed membership with them, and so they were attending there. And all of a sudden, they came, the husband and wife came to the elders and said, you know, we need somebody to pay our car payment. We need somebody to pay our mortgage. We're falling behind. And it wasn't very long when they were helping them out with that, but they finally said, well, look, you're not even looking for work. You're not even trying to help yourself. We're not doing this anymore. Gone. They were gone. Immediately. Hey, if you have it, give it, church. No. Because what we're not going to encourage things that are wrong, sinfulness. We're not going to do that. And I need to learn that lesson, you know, even when I want to help people. You know, if people are not going to help themselves, you know, if a person comes up and says, well, you know, we've got two cars and we can't make the payments, sell one. What? Sacrifice? You know, if somebody comes up and says, you know what, I can't make the pay the heat bill this week. Well, let me see. You've got cable. You've got internet. You know, you've got all this stuff. Where's your sacrifice? Just go ahead and cancel that. What? Cancel that? Look, if you have it, give it. No. There are times when we say no, because if people are not going to sacrifice for themselves, then they're not really in need. And we need to understand that, or we're going to be enablers. We're actually going to encourage that. We don't want to do that. What do you think Jesus didn't do? Jesus, they're here. Just go ahead. Okay, so they want their bellies filled. They want their bellies filled. But teach them. Preach the gospel. It doesn't matter. I had a guy tell me recently, I don't care how you get them in. Oh, I know who that was. We had a wonderful discussion with a family member. But man, we talked about the church all day long. He belongs to this denomination. But we just talked about all kinds of things. And I mean, just well over an hour of just talking about what the Bible has to say, because he's asking question after question after question. And he was mentioning that where he goes, that the idea is, the concept of his teacher was, I don't care how you get them in, just get them in. You can use all kinds of things to try to draw people in. We said, well, no, because we said, if you bring them in with cake and ice cream, you got to keep them with cake and ice cream. That's the premise that we're talking about. Jesus wasn't going, you're coming just to fill your belly. No, you didn't even learn over here. You didn't even learn. And so we want to help people, but, you know, people need to learn to help themselves. And we, as Christians, need to be mindful of that. Let me give you another example. Go back to the Old Testament. I love this. The book of Judges. Joshua, then Judges. And go to the 7th chapter. I like this. I'm not stretching the point, but when you, it doesn't quite fit when you say, if you've got it, give it. But I'll explain in a moment. We have something interesting here in verse 2 of Judges 7. It says, and the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. And if you read down there with, you know, how that God was able to filter it down to a smaller number, and those who would lap the water, those who would take it up with their hand and whatnot. It eventually gets down to 300 people. But wait a second. if you're going to lead an army in, is there really such thing as having too many soldiers? It's like somebody saying, I have too much money. I just have too much. Or I'm just too happy. Can you be too happy? Can you really be too happy? And so I'm thinking, can you have too many soldiers? Apparently there was too many here. Well, if you got them, use it. No, because what'll happen here is they'll think that it was because of them and not because of the Lord. And so what's the danger there? Well, obviously you can create an attitude where people start trusting in themselves rather than in the Lord. Paul warned against this over in Romans chapter 12. Let's go to the New Testament. I like quoting this one because Paul is always concerned about this in his own life, and we've studied that recently. But Romans chapter 12, I love that verse 3, for he says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God dealt to each one a measure of faith." I love that. The whole idea is, I'm amazed at people who are know-it-alls. Seriously. When I think of the humility that needs to be there, because the things that you and I learn, somebody has taught us, and we need to give God the glory. We need humility. And this is why when I look at John chapter 4 and verse 24, talks about this idea that God looks at the heart of a man. And so when a person, you know, thinks like, well, I can do it all. I can do it all. You know, well, there are times when, no, don't you do it. Well, Chuck, I'm the best song leader here, and I need to lead songs all the time. Especially known places. Tore the church apart. Okay, if you got it, don't always use it. Yeah, if you've got it, don't always use it. Be clothed with humility. Let other people develop their abilities. Don't think that you've got to be the go-to guy. You see, we're talking about an attitude here. That's what God told Gideon. You know, they might think, well, it's because I did it. You know, and the fact that you are here today, you're not earning your salvation because you're worshiping God here today. It's wonderful that you got up this morning, but this is for God, right? It's all for Him. And He's looking at your heart. If you're here and you kind of wish, man, I wish that freezing rain had come. You know, if you're thinking, I wish services would have been canceled, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And so if we get this idea that, well, I'm here, at least I'm earning it. No, be careful of that. Be careful of that. So we're talking about an attitude here. That's why God said, you know, it's great that you worship, but I want you to worship in spirit and in truth. Yeah, you've done the truth part. Spirit there. Is the heart right? Is the heart right? And we say, well, I'm here, and that's the most important thing. Well, we need to be careful of that. Look over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I love the fact that we study and we learn. But remember, if you have it, remember this concept, don't always give it in the sense where you think it's all about you. In verse 2 it says, "And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing." Did you get that? What if you have all knowledge? If you don't have love, you're nothing. Well, see, but I have it all. Well, look, we need to be clothed with humility within all of that. So what if you don't love? Well, if you don't love, you'll think that you're better than others, and that's the danger within all of this. Now, over in Romans chapter 12, this is the problem. If we are not clothed with humility, if we're not clothed with love, and we have all knowledge, you know what's going to hinder us here is that we're not going to be able to do some of the things that our Lord admonished us to do. For example, Romans chapter 12, let's pick it up in verse 9, where he says, "Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another." Preference. Let them. I want to encourage them to do. No, it's all about me. No, it's not, folks. This is where I'm saying. If you have the knowledge, well, I've got to do all the teaching. I've got to do all the song leading, or I've got to do this, or I've got to do that within the church. It's got to be about me. No, it's not about you. Even though you have the ability, you can let other people do. It's attitude. And so when I have this concept in my head about this idea that, well, if you have it, use it, or if you have it, give it. Well, there are times where you don't give. We talked about that with the church aspect. But then I think about this. Turn to Matthew chapter 26. To me, this really got me to thinking about my life and my service to God and what He expects from me. I see parents out there with children. I think of my children. I think of my grandchildren. And I think of this time of year. And maybe it was this time of year that got me to thinking a lot about this particular point. And so I want to slow down and spend a little bit more time on this one. I'll pick it up in verse 47 of chapter 26. 47 begins. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly one of those who were Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. And Jesus said to him, "Put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you not think," and we read all that for this line, folks, "do you not think that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? How then could the scriptures be fulfilled that it must happen thus?" Remember that last verse about the scriptures. That's a different sermon, and that's tonight. But I'm going to back up when he mentioned here about what my Father could do. Not only what I could ask. So I don't really want to focus on Jesus per se, because I started out with him. He could have fed the 5,000 if he wanted to. He could have fed the crowd that came the next day. He fed the 5,000, but Jesus had unlimited power. But I would like for us for just a moment to think about the Father. Think about all that he had to endure, knowing what his Son went through. Especially on this day. Being blindfolded, slapped. Hey, who slapped you? Why are they blindfolded him? Let's test him. Put the crown of thorns on him. Put that robe on him and bow down to him. Mock him. Okay? With the spikes going through his hand. Now, I'm not focusing on Jesus per se, because, you know, Jesus being God could have stopped. But I want to think about it from a fatherly attitude standpoint. The Father had it. You've got it. Use it. Stop it. Stop them right now. Stop them, Father. No. You've got it. Use it. No. No. Why? It's for the betterment of mankind. Not only for the benefit of mankind. Think of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Have you ever thought about this? For the betterment. What about for the betterment of Christ himself? Hebrews chapter 5. It tells me in verse 8, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. You mean the God with us didn't know something? I thought he was all-knowing. By the things which he suffered. He had never had flesh till he came here. So he had to learn things. There's things that Jesus did not experience prior to coming to this earth. He was not tempted in all points as you and I. He had to learn obedience by the things which he suffered. And I'm thinking, you know, the Father had it to give, but he chose not to, for the sake not only of his Son, but for mankind himself. The Father has all the power. Does he do all for us? Does the Father do everything for us? Well, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." He doesn't do everything. Well, couldn't he? Couldn't you, you know, somebody says to me, I remember in the past in a study, somebody says, well, Chuck, I think just at the end of the time, at the end of time, God's just going to take everybody to go to heaven. Could he? Does he have the power to do that? Sure he could. He won't. But as I'm getting us to see, if you've got the power, people say, if you've got the ability, do it. And we have to understand there are times we say no. The Father sent his Son to die for us. And even though he has the power, he didn't do it all. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17, that we've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that's been delivered to us. He expected us to obey. He expected us to do his will. Now, let me ask you something. How many of you are financially better off than your parents were? Some of you might not be. Some of you may be. How many of us remember not having as much as children growing up, so we want our children to have everything we never had? I have grandchildren. I think they're keeping Walmart in business. But you think about this concept. I want to give my children everything. Why? Because I have it. We as parents, we have it all, so let's give it all. I mean, I feel like I've failed as a parent if I don't give them everything that they want. I feel like I failed with a parent if I tell them, no, we're not going to do something that we planned on doing. That would be wrong. I have the ability. I have the money. Let's give them everything that they want. Our Father in heaven didn't give us everything. He understood the wisdom of saying no. He understood that. You turn to Ephesians chapter 6. You know where I'm going with this. But I think that this is a problem that we have in society today. You know, when I think about children and parenting and willing to say no when we have the ability. How hard is that? How hard do you think it was for the Father to see his Son hanging on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, that's a different lesson. I don't think God actually forsook him. I mean, if God forsook him, why are you talking to him? Are you just talking to the air? Do you actually think your Father's hearing you? Wasn't it his humanity? I mean, if the Father had forsaken him, why was he saying, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do? Well, he's not around to hear you, he's forsaken you. Well, no, but we're seeing that humanity side of him. But I'm saying, here's the Father in heaven seeing this going on. Do something. You have the ability. It's within your power. Do it. Parents, spend all your money on your children. Give them everything they want. Give it all to them. And I guarantee you'll lose it. You'll lose it. Have them do without. You know, it's funny. We're having to try to teach that to the next generation with our kids. Because they did not have much growing up. They didn't. They had this little toy box. All their toys. Debbie and I were talking about this the other day. I said, isn't that kind of funny? I said, all their toys were in that little toy box that her dad made for them. Everything they ever had. And we always look back and regret. We say, man, boy, they sure messed up. We would love to have been able to do this. I wish we had the finances we had now when they were little. And I think to myself, maybe not. Because maybe we would have been tempted. We would have been seriously tempted to make sure our kids get everything that they want and not what they need. And this is the warning when I see that the priority as parenting, when I think about the Father in heaven, you know, if you have it, give it. No, here's where the hard part is. If you have it, don't hold back. I mean, you obviously know, guys, I'm not saying don't give them anything. You know that. The Father gave us plenty. We've been praying about that. He blessed us with so much. But the lessons that we could teach about what we have to do for ourselves are enormous. There's so many things we have to do for ourselves. And that's why our God tells us, verse 1 of Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise. that it may be well with you, that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. What they really need is that spiritual guidance and the things that are going to help them beyond this life. And I have been quoted in my household. I've been saying, my grandkids have too much stuff. I'm saying, and this time of year, they have so much stuff. And there's a danger, is what I'm saying. That's what we noticed that Jesus established when they wanted to come and have their bellies filled. Well, if you've got it, give it. And Chuck, if you've got it, you should just be willing to give it to anyone and everybody out there. No. No. There are dangers. Doesn't mean I need to be selfish. It's better to give than to receive, right? There's all those premises that are there. So please don't read anything more into this sermon that's intended, because there is obviously the flip side. I could come back tonight and talk about the need for us to be generous, okay? Obviously. But that's why I talked about the dangers with an attitude with Gideon, and then we talked about with the Father, which is in heaven. And our responsibility to be careful that we don't plant the seed which Paul warned Timothy about, which we talked about last week, the love of money or the love of stuff is the root of all evil. I don't want to promote that. I don't. You know, we don't talk about it much. I don't think I've preached a lot on covetousness. Now, just coming right out and just preaching on covetousness. But yet we've talked about the idea of the lust of the eye in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. What's the lust of the eye, guys? We're not talking about the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is just satisfying all your passions, all your desires. And that's why the lust of the flesh, you have people addicted to alcohol and drugs and all kinds of things that are out there, pills. I mean, I've been shocked to hear on the news. I sometimes turn to Devin and I go, really? Is that true when they say more than people that are hooked on cocaine and all these other drugs? Way more than that is people that are hooked on pills. Really? Prescription pills are one of the worst things, that more than even cocaine and all these other hard drugs. That's just hard for me, isn't it? But again, it's that flesh, that satisfying, the lust of the flesh, and people with their sexual desires. But what? See, that's different. See, guys, that's different than what John wrote when he said the lust of the eye. What's the lust of the eye? It's whatever I see, I want, and I demand. And even if I have it, don't give it. That's the lesson for us today. So I hope that our time together, I didn't talk about becoming a Christian, but I did talk about the dangers that are out there and what people will assume that we should do just because we might have it. Or we might think we should assume what we do just because we have it, and whether it might even be abilities. If we don't keep that humility in check, folks, if we don't understand that we're here to prefer others before ourselves, we're missing it. Well, but I have it. It's not the point. And, of course, with the last one. And so I would be amiss if we didn't close with an invitation, though, because I don't know where you stand with your relationship with the Lord. Are you a faithful Christian? Because that question will deal with the two things that we will invite you to do. If you say, I'm not even a Christian, well, there. We encourage you to become one by letting us know. We'll sit down, we'll talk with you, we'll open up our Bibles, we'll go through those steps, making sure that you are a child of God. But if you say, well, Chuck, well, I am. I've obeyed the gospel, but I'm not a faithful Christian. Well, then we provide you with the opportunity to fix that, to remedy that. How can I become faithful? Well, that means you have unrepented sin in your life. If it's of private nature, you just take care of that. We would say, look, just pray to God for forgiveness. Get right with the Lord. Don't leave here unprepared. But if it's of a public nature, we want you to make a note so we can pray with you and pray for you. But we're here to help in any way that we can. If you're subbing the invitation in any way this morning, let it be known as we stand together and sing the song.
All persuaded now to believe. All bitter wail, almost but lost.
I'd like to thank everyone for their attendance here today, and our visitors also. It's just really encouraging with the bad weather that's outside that everybody makes the attempt to be here to worship God on the Lord's Day. So it's very uplifting to all of us. Also remember at 2 o'clock, we'll have the radio show today. Chuck and I are on today talking about what was the greatest day. It's kind of in line with the holiday season, but talking about, you know, the greatest day of Christ's life, you know, with his death, his birth, and all those kind of things that really can be an aid to us during this time. You know, we talk to a lot of people about the upcoming Christmas holidays and all those kind of things. So it's just a really good tool for us to use. So if you have the opportunity to tune in at 2 o'clock at AM 1400. And we'll be meeting again back this afternoon at 4 o'clock. So if you have the opportunity to come back and meet with us and, you know, brave the roads, as long as there's no freezing rain or anything, we'll be meeting back again at 4 o'clock. So we'll now be dismissed in a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that you've given us this day to where we are able to come out to worship you. We're so thankful that for the Christians are here at this location. And we ask you that we continue with more opportunities to continue to encourage one another, to try to build each other up, to try to be always well-pleasing your sight. We're so thankful that with the lesson that was provided, may we be able to take it to heart and try to apply it to ourselves. Help us to build up our abilities and our strengths, but also to keep in mind and try to be mindful of our actions and how we use our abilities. Help us to try to spread your word to the best of our abilities and to try to be examples for others so that your word may continue and that the gospel may be spread in the best ways possible. We're so thankful for everyone that was able to be here this morning. We ask you that you may be with us until the next point in time that we return later this afternoon to be your will. We ask you that throughout the season that you watch over us as you always have each and every day. Please be with us if you're sick and help us always put our faith and trust in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.